Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Green Day bringing us back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe here with you today. Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We now bring in Adam Sparks, who covers Vanderbilt for the Tennessean, and he came out with a big story over the weekend. They got a lot of people's attention for the wrong reasons. Of course, there was a Vanderbilt staffer accusing linebacker Charles Wright of raping her, and there's a lot of layers to this story, and a lot of it is not good. Adam, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good to be on, guys. How we doing?
Good. How did this all come about? Because, you know, what's interesting in reading your article, and I've been reading what you and Gentry Estes has been putting out there, you know, it was confusing because Derek Mason, since he's been the head coach at Vanderbilt, has been coming on doing weeklies with us, you know, during the season. And obviously we talked to him pretty regularly. And I remember asking about him and, you know, him saying he was injured. And so how did this all come about? Because you're on the beat. Where did this come about where more information would start coming your way?
Well, Charles Wright, his senior year was 2019. I had heard rumors after the season was over that there was something associated with a sexual assault or some accusation, nothing in stone, but some accusation, which is why his senior year was cut short. But there was nothing ever to it. You know, Vanderbilt is a private school, so it's not like you can just readily go in and make records requests and get them like you could at a public university. So that kind of sat quiet. And you hear rumors like that around programs all the time. Unless there's something there, you don't report on it. And then 2 weeks ago, a few women, Vanderbilt students, current and past, made some accusations on Twitter, said that various Vanderbilt football players, current and past, had sexually assaulted them, raped them. And one of them was Regan Sims, an equipment manager, a former equipment manager. And we looked into all the accusations, and we're still looking into those. I'm on vacation this week, but when I get back, I've got a whole lot more on my plate to look into. But Regan Sims particularly kept all the documentation that we would need to report on this, that Charles Wright was found responsible for a sexual assault back in early 2018. That's responsible for sexual assault based on Title IX panel. That's the Title IX office at the university. We did more digging in terms of Metro cops, and the DA in Metro in Nashville had found reason not to prosecute. So Charles Wright, by the DA's judgment, did not break the law. He was never prosecuted of any criminal charges. But the Title IX office, which has a lower standard, a preponderance of evidence standard, found that he was responsible enough that they looked at it and said it's more likely than not that he violated the sexual misconduct policy, which usually means you're going to be expelled, which he was. And most of what the case came down to was consent in terms of sexual activity. I've read all the evidence and looked at the text messages, which is both the investigations hinged so much on text messages. I can see why a DA would say, I think there's some reasonable doubt in here about if it was consensual or not. I don't think we could do that he's absolutely guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And I also see why the Title IX office looked at the same evidence or even more after that, more text messages, and said, I'm not so sure if he got consent. And again, the standard is lower, and the sexual misconduct policy at Vanderbilt says if the other person is intoxicated, you bear the burden to make sure you get explicit consent. You can't just kind of hope you got it. In fact, there's some language in the sexual misconduct policy at Vanderbilt that recommends if the other person is intoxicated, you don't even chance that. And so they found him responsible. He was expelled, and we dug and dug and dug and make sure that we got all that to confirm it. And then Vanderbilt, after several statements of saying we don't talk about Title IX, finally figured out that we knew and had to own up to it and said, yeah, we messed up. We miscommunicated in how we handled this.
Is a lot of this language, Adam, stemming back from 2013 for a lot? You know, we have a lot of people that have just moved here, weren't familiar with a very, very, very ugly rape trial in this town around the program. Was a lot of that language that you were laying out there stemming from going back to, what was it, 2013?
Well, it was the frustrating thing is with Vanderbilt, they had, they had the 2013 rape, four football players, the trials over the next, three or four years after that, that occurred. And so the language coming out of that incident was, we're really, really going to clamp down on our Title IX policy and all those things, and, hey, we've got it fixed now. And then when this happened, we found documents and emails that said, we're so sorry that we didn't handle this Charles Wright sexual assault case. We're now going to update our policies to correct that. And then the last week, the statements we're getting were that, yeah, now we see the error of our ways. We're going to update our policies to correct that. So there's a lot of updating policies and a lot of rhetoric that we keep messing up, but we promise we're going to do better next time.
Mm-hmm. So they felt the need to expel Charles Wright, like you said, due to Title IX. They don't have to have they don't have to be prosecuted, but yet they still allowed him to work out for NFL scouts, a part of the program's pro day. Take us through that portion of your article where, and of course she's still there. She was a freshman, part of the equipment team as a freshman, and so she's still around, and I guess they have to maneuver him in, and she's still in the. So why do you think they allowed that to take place, considering was a student who was expelled?
Any time when I would tell kind of this story and what we had with documents to prove it to any of my colleagues, editors during this investigative phase, the most visceral experience I would get from everybody, including myself, was the pro day incident. So he's expelled. He appeals it over several months, gets the appeal extended several times because he hired an attorney to do just that. He graduates, but they don't grant him a degree. That's in December, and then we get to February, and they uphold his expulsion. He's expelled. He's banned from campus, can't have contact with her, all the things, can't be on campus. And then during that whole process, he is appealing to Vanderbilt, requesting that he still go to pro day, even if his expulsion is upheld. And then he tells us that Candace Lee, who was the football administrator at the time, she's athletics director now, is the one that communicated to him and his family. They said, yes, it's been granted. You can come back for pro day. His accuser, Regan Sims, is still an equipment manager at the time, so she is scheduled to work pro day. He shows up. She says the head equipment manager has her not go to the indoor facility where pro day is supposed to be so that she would not have contact with him. And, you know, essentially, again, everybody that I talked to always had the more visceral experience of the accuser or the victim, as far as the Title IX sees it, the victim is told to leave, so then the perpetrator under Title IX is allowed to use the facility. And it's such an odd look. It's something that Vandy could have avoided. I think this probably doesn't even see the light of day if that doesn't happen. Because you guys know how pro days work. Derek Mason could have picked up the phone and called his buddy Rod Reed at TSU or MTSU or maybe a local high school and say, hey, you know, scouts are in town. Both has got to be seen. Can I send him over there? Because his accuser is equipment manager here. It's an easy fix.
Yep.
Or just, buddy, I love you. I've recruited you. I'm going to call scouts. I'm going to make sure you get a chance. But you can't be here because the university says you can't be here. And internally, I'd love to be a fly on the wall of how that's working because Malcolm Turner was the athletic director. He was in charge. So the authority at some point has to go to him to approve that. but he had only been AD for a few weeks when that had happened. So I'm sure there's some finger pointing behind closed doors. The idea that Vandy's answer was this was just miscommunication, inadequate communication. I don't know how you can miscommunicate. He didn't play eight games because he was expelled for a sexual assault. I don't know how you can go several months and that not be clear, and then him suddenly show up pro day and you think everything is fine. I just don't. That just doesn't hold water.
We're talking to Adam Sparks of the Tennessean about this Vanderbilt story and sexual assault. So the names that you have mentioned, we know Malcolm Turner, he's gone now. So he's no longer with the university. But Candace Lee, Derek Mason, obviously still there. What type of punishment or anything do you think comes with them and how this fell through the cracks or however you want to put it? But what do you think happens with them now?
That's a good question. My hunch is nothing that we're going to know about. Obviously anything like this, something comes out, Twitter, quickly says, hashtag fire the coach and fire the AD and fire everybody. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, for one, the language that has come out of Vanderbilt in statements is that the blame is going to be shared, at least publicly. So Candace Lee is the one that communicated that. Well, she was the football administrator, so she can also internally say, well, it's my job to communicate anything that has to do with football. That was my job. But I had a boss. I had an athletic director, Malcolm Turner, so I do what he says. Derek Mason can say that Title IX is handled by the university. That's not a football coach. I do what my boss says, and I do what the university says, and I'm not the one that approved it. So you can – you can kind of go in circles and point to somebody else, and if you're all sharing the blame, it's kind of hard to fire one person or another or to have some kind of sanction on one person or another. I mean, I had a number of people that said, well, couldn't you fire Derek Mason for calls now? There's always a for calls clause in contracts that says you can rip up a contract and not pay somebody the buyout if you have some kind of ethical cause that you can fire them for. Well, he wasn't even the one that we know of that approved it. So I don't think you could do something like that to him when he's maybe right. Third or fourth or fifth on the list of people to blame. So I just think internally there will be some things that go on. I think externally I think everybody will keep their job and things will just move on. And the fact that they're blaming it on policies that need to be updated tells you that they're not going to put a name on the blame.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem, that they're talking about policies that need to be updated and, the miscommunicate, whatever they want to say. They had a very, very big trial that happened in 2013, and there are a lot of people still there that know about that and remember that. And the fact that here we are in 2020, this all happened in 2018, 2019, and there's still an issue over there. That's what boggles my mind, that it got to this point where you're having to do your job and report this story, and this wasn't taken care of right away.
Well, and I think there's another layer to this, too, that during our reporting, Vanderbilt knew we had a story coming out, and every time I would send a new set of questions, it revealed to them that, hey, we know more, and we're going to report all these things. And so you see their statements over time that we put on their website starting to broaden. And because they had to answer things that they knew we would have in our story. Well, late in the process, and we have this in the story, Project SAFE, which is the sexual misconduct, basically the rape counseling center on campus, went and got Regan Sims, the accuser, to give a disclosure that they could acknowledge working with her. Now, usually a Title IX office or a rape counseling center doesn't go to that extent to name the person. But it was clear that they wanted to put out there that, listen, she's given us permission to say that we helped her, we supported her. In other words, we did our job, and it's in print that we did our job. So I think there's another layer there of the Title IX office and the university side saying, we didn't fail anybody in this case. We did our job. I have to think if that's a subtle pointing the finger back to athletics. We did our job, so obviously somebody else didn't. And I think that's another layer that internally probably is going to have some legs at Vanderbilt.
Where do you think this goes from here? And I know you said you're on vacation, Adam, and there'll be some more reporting when you get back. But where do you think this is headed, in your opinion?
Well, for one, I want to know what policies need to be updated, and if that's a cop-out or if there's some or if there's something to that. You know, again, the some things don't align there. The miscommunication policies, again, that's the claim. It was policies and it was errors and miscommunication, and we're going to fix them. Well, I don't know. There's miscommunication sounds like, oh, he was expelled and it was upheld, and we didn't know it, so we let him come, but or he showed up, and when he showed up, we thought he had not been expelled, or maybe he won his appeal. And the fact that we now know that he requested to come and he was granted that request, that doesn't sound like miscommunication. That sounds like you made a bad decision. So I don't know what fixes that in some kind of policies. So I want to know from here what policies are changing, and whatever changes are made, what was wrong with the original policies? In other words, who screwed up, and how did they screw up? So I'll keep an eye on that. There's obviously other accusations that I mentioned before. Accusations are just accusations until they have some documentation or something to support them. This case that we reported on absolutely did, and I'll kind of work to see if the others do or don't. It's a sensitive topic. You always have to be careful anytime you're reporting it. And the more documentation you have, the more that supports it. And you want to be fair to all sides. I almost said both sides, but there's always kind of more than two here. And so we'll kind of continue to dig into that. I mean, it took 2 weeks to do this one and to do it in the way that we did. And so it may take some time to do more. But I think the big thing to look at is probably if the policies actually change, because that'll tell you whether or not that was a legitimate reason, or I would even say a legitimate excuse, if there's such a thing.
Where is Regan Sims right now? Is she?
She's in Omaha. That's where she lives. She'll be if Vandy does in fact return to campus, then she'll be back in about a month and a half to start her senior year.
So she'll be starting her senior year at Vanderbilt. Okay.
Yeah, and she's no longer an equipment manager. So she did one more season after all this happened. She's engaged to Caleb Pert. He was another linebacker, a teammate of Charles Wright. She's engaged to him. He had just finished up his senior year last year. So she remained as an equipment manager to work alongside of him. And he's graduated and moved on now, so she's just a student for her senior year.
Good stuff. Hey, we appreciate you joining us on your vacation. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. That is Adam Sparks on the Vanderbilt beat for the Tennessean. Tough story. Good job by him doing a lot of excellent reporting on this. But it's not a good look. It's not a good look for people who weren't here 7 years ago. Well, I feel like it went on forever, years and years. Very, very, very ugly rape trial that took place in this city. And that was obviously a bad look. That's when James Franklin was the head coach here. And now you hear this, and you do wonder, like, gosh, Vanderbilt does things differently than everybody else. It's well-documented. We talk about it all the time. It's just amazing to me. The part that stood out the most was reading how Charles Wright's been expelled. So obviously there was enough with Title IX for them to say, yeah, you may not be getting prosecuted by the law, but Title IX, we have enough to expel you, but yet you're able to come back and participate in a pro day. That was a little mind-blowing to me. And as Adam, he put it out there very well, it could have easily been fixed. It was an easy fix. You pick up and the phone and you could have him look at some of the local high schools here, some of the fields that they have, or the turf. Right. They've got, you know, some of these private institutions have beautiful setups over there, or TSU or somebody. It's an easy fix with scouts here in town to say, oh, yeah, you need to, for Charles Wright, you need to go to over to FRA, and Chase McCabe will be there waiting for you to take you to Charles Wright, and, you know, so you can conduct his pro day. I mean, but to allow him back in there it's just that blew me away. That part, I just couldn't believe. Like, why would you ever risk that? Considering.
Because you know the history. There are people in that building that know the history, the athletic director being one of them, because she's been there for so long.
Right.
Derek Mason took the job while all that was going on.
Right.
You know, and so I don't even want to call them excuses, but this shouldn't have happened. Like, let's just bottom line, it shouldn't have gotten this far. Once he's expelled, then he's expelled. And even to the extent of calling somewhere to get a pro day set up, I kind of look at it as no, you have to wash your hands at this point because everything that is on that university because of what happened in 2013, you have to be cognizant of that. So I it boggles the mind. It's like I said with Adam, it boggles the mind that it got to that point and that this became a story and as big of a story as it has become because of the history that's happened there.
Yep. So good work by Adam Sparks putting together this story, and we'll see what comes of it, if there's any more layers to it. The Tennessee Titans have sent out a letter to their season ticket holders, and we'll tell you what it said, talking about possible changes for the 2020 season. We'll do that on the other side to close out hour number one of Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.